عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: فاطمة بضعة مني، فمن أغضبها فقد أغضبني. وقالت السيدة فاطمة سلام الله عليها: مثل الإمام مثل الكعبة، تؤتى ولا تأتي. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
حضرت زهراء:
partner is a shareholder in the hadaf and goal of risalat, and the messengership will cannot be fulfilled to its perfection without that person and his and that person's existence. Then it would happen that we find that a person it deserves to sit on the place of Rasulullah. And not just that, Prophet used to smell the smell of Jannat and Paradise from Hazrat Fatima. He had a specific smell coming from her body, from her soul. You know, we know already when Hazrat Fatima was born, Hazrat Khadija alayhi salam, you know, she got isolated from the community for 40 days. She did worships in the house. Prophet went to the ghar, to the cave of Hira, performed his own ibadah for 40 days. And after this riyadat and extensive ibadat of both these great personalities, then the food from the Jannat was brought, and both of them ate from the food of paradise. So we say in the ziyarat of Hazrat Zahra, As-salamu alayki ya tufahat al-firdaus wal-khuld allati ashrafta mawlidaha bi nisa'i al-jannah wa salaka minha anwar al-a'imma. My salam to you who is the tufaha, means apple, of firdaus and khuld. Firdaus is the highest place of paradise. Paradise and Jannat has darajat, and Jahannam has barakah. And the highest daraja and level of Jannat is called Firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus. So we say, Assalamu alayki, my salam to you, who is the tufaha, who is the apple of Firdaus. So Hazrat Fatima's, that apple which was eaten, and then the nutfa, the Hazrat Fatima was conceived, was from that paradise. And wasalaka minha anwar al-a'imma, and we say to the other that from her the noor of imams were taken out. So basically Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha is a partner in the risalat of Rasulullah. And the risalat of Rasulullah will not be perfect and complete without her. And also we find that That's why our scholars say, you know, when they talk about Hazrat Zahra, they always say that, you know, talking about Hazrat Fatima is, you know, sahlul mumtani, is deceptively simple. Sahlul mumtani in Arabic we say to things which seem to be very simple, apparently, zahiran, but if you pay attention, if you delve into it, go deep down into its roots and reality, you find, well, this is something beyond our reach. We know nothing about it. The more you go deep, the more you realize this is something we don't know. So the when you read in the hadith that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith al-Qudsi that لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَفْلَاكِ, if you were not there, Allah would not have created the aflaq. Nothing in the universe would have been created if the Prophet was not there. And then Allah said, وَلَوْلَا عَلِيٌّ لَمَا خَلَقْتُكَ, if Ali was not there, I would not have created you. And then Allah says, لَوْلَا فَاطِمَا, if Fatima was not there, لَمَا خَلَقْتُكُمَا, I would not have created both of you. So this is one on one hand. On the other hand, when you put this hadith on one side, and then you combine this hadith with the other one from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he has said, لَوْلَا أَنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَزَوَّجَهَا مَا كَانَ لَهَا كُفٌ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ آدَمُ فَمَنْ دُونَهُ. If Imam Ali alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, did not marry her, there was no kufur, there was no counterpart, there was no one parallel to the personality of Hazrat Fatima who could marry her. So on the entire humanity from Awwaleen and Akhireen, including the prophets and messengers, there is no single person who can marry Hazrat Fatima. Because in Islam, Al-Mu'minu, Al-Mu'minuna, Ba'dahum Akfa'u Ba'd. In Islam, the concept and principle of marriage is with kufur. You have to be kufu of the person, you have to be a counterpart, you have to be parallel to him or her in order to marry. If you're not the parallel, in terms of your iman, in terms of your tadayyun, in terms of your taqwa, in terms of your ma'rifat, in terms of your ma'naviyat, in terms of your ruhaniyat, if you are parallel to that person, then you deserve to marry. If you're not parallel, then you are not the kufu. So when the marriage is already decided in Islam that marriage takes place among the kufu, so we find when Imam says that no one could have, you know, no one would be a kufu for Hazrat Fatima. So now when you put these ahadiths together, that on one side Allah says that I would not have created both of you if Fatima was, you know, was not there. On other hand, no one could be parallel to her other than Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So we derive from this hadith that basically, the level of Hazrat Fatima salamullahi alayha is comparable to the level of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. Although Imam Ali alayhi salam is still superior, because he is the wali and mawla, and he is also the mawla of Hazrat Fatima. And in some of the ahadith we find Hazrat Fatima used to call him Amir al-Mu'mineen. Our Imams used to call Amir al-Mu'mineen also, but Hazrat Fatima is the mother of the Imams. So even Hazrat Fatima, in some of the ahadiths, we find that she addresses Imam Ali as Amir al-Mu'mineen. Also, Abul Hasan, in some of the ahadiths, we find Ya Abul Hasan also is there. But also, in some ahadiths, we find Amir al-Mu'mineen. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is the leader of Hazrat Fatima also. And not just that, see the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech, which is the hadith of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha, that's narrated in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 36, where she said that Masal al-Imam, Masal al-Ka'bah. So the example, the parable of Imam is that of Ka'bah. You can compare the Imam of your time to the Holy Kaaba. So, and then she said, "Tuta wala ta'ti." People are obliged to go towards Kaaba. The Kaaba is not obliged to go towards the people. It's the job of the Islamic Ummah to come, do the oath of allegiance and bay'at and mubayat, and show their allegiance to the Imam of their time and follow him. Not expect the Imam of the time to come to the people, you know, to beg for their allegiance. This is not what's supposed to be done. It's otherwise. What a nice example to make us realize. If you have to go to Kaaba for Hajj, the Kaaba is going to come to your house for so that you can perform Hajj. It can never be like this. And this is something that actually, which was also similar to that hadith we have from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also where he had said
that.
Prophet also said that, Tuta wala ta'ti, to hajjo wala ta'hij. You know, people have to go for Hajj to Kaaba. Kaaba doesn't come for Hajj, doesn't come, you know, for, doesn't do the Hajj. So we were talking about the manzilat and level of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is that she is so high? There's nothing emotional in Islam. There are very concrete reasons. Top of all is again her ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the highest of all the reasons. Look at the level of her ma'rifat and irfan towards Allah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran that كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything is destroyed except the wajh of Allah. Even today, we must understand, you know, that even right now, we need to realize that everything, even right now, is halik, ahli halakat. Everything right now is also, you know, ahli halakat, except that a thing is the wajh of Allah. Everything which exists around us in the universe has to be the wajhullah in order to exist. If any single mawjood in the alam is not the wajhullah, it will be devastated momentarily. Now, what is the level and daraja of your you being the wajh and madhar and face and mirror reflecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This depends from one mawjood to another. It varies. Even stones are madhar of Allah. Even soil is madhar of Allah. Water is an ayat and sign and madhar and wajh of Allah. Animals, our scholars say, haywanat are the madhar of asma at-tashbihiyya lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the animals are the madhar of Allah. All the birds are the madhar of Allah. The jinns and the humans, everything in the universe, nothing can exist unless and until it serves as a wajh and mazhar and face of Allah. Whatever is your level, that much face you are posing, that much you are reflecting. So when we have this ideology already given in Islam, that nothing can exist except the wajh of Allah, everything other than the wajh of Allah is destroyed. Even now it's destroyed, it's not there. Nothing can exist. And that's one of the reasons why I see our scholars, our philosopher, our Islamic philosophers believe in wahdat of wujud. There is nothing existing actually. There is no other wujud other than Allah. How can you believe that there are so many wujud? You can believe in so many mawjudat, but you cannot believe in so many wujud. The wujud is only one, and that is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you see around you is the mawjudat and existences who are given wujud from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have the wujud of their own. So there's nothing wujud available other than that of Allah. Given this muqaddima and prelude, now come back to the issue that we were discussing about the ma'rifat level of Hazrat Zahra from Allah alayhi. So she say, you know, a person, since the Holy Quran considers everything other than Allah as halik and the halakat and destroyed, so attachment towards the mawjudat-e-zail, you know, mawjudat az-za'ila, those mawjudat which are temporary in their existence and will be destroyed, will be gone, will be subjected to fana and destruction. All the mawjudat in this universe which are temporary, which they do not have the wujud of their own, the wujud is given by Allah to them. Any kind of attachment towards these mawjudat is the reason of the entire huzn and sorrow and gham that we have in this dunya. Every sorrow and gham and huzn that you find in this dunya is because of one or several attachments towards the mawjudat. As long as you are attached with the wujud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't have no gham, no sorrow. Every sorrow comes because we have attachment towards the mawjudat which are temporary in this dunya. Now look at the statement of Hazrat Zahra. He says, that's narrated in Nahjul Hayat. I think I mentioned this earlier in one of my speeches long time ago, that this is Nahjul Hayat is a very nice book written by a scholar in Iran. He compiled all the ahadith of Hazrat Zahra, salamu alayhi. All the ahadith in alphabetical order. So we have the Nahjul Balagha for Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and this book is called Nahjul Hayat, the path of life. In this he has compiled every single hadith of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi in alphabetical order. It's a beautiful book. So in Nahjul Hayat, this has been narrated that Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi said that shagalani an mas'alatihi lazzatu khidmatihi. That means the pleasure of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has engaged me in it. That, you know, basically she doesn't have any time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no room to ask because she's engaged in the pleasure of khidmat and service towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hajata li ghayra nazar ila wajhihi al-kareem. I have no hajat and need towards anyone, anything other than looking at the wajh and face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can say this statement that I don't stand in need of anything other than looking at the face of Allah? And she said in another hadith that hubbiba ilayya min dunyakum salasun, three things in your dunya has been made beloved for me. What are those three things? He said tilawatul kitabillah, reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is mahbub and beloved in the eyes of Hazrat Fatima. وَالنَّظَرُ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and looking at the face of Rasulullah. وَالْإِنْفَاقْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and giving away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These three things are beloved of Hazrat Fatima. So she used to love looking at the face of Rasulullah, reciting the Holy Quran, and giving an infaq, giving away for the sake of Allah. Infaq was at its peak. In Islam does not permit a wife to give away the sadaqah without the permission of the husband. This is not allowed for the wife. There is no concept of tasadduq in Islam for the wife without the permission of the husband. This is not permitted. But she has a right to give sadaqah from her own money, because you know, her money is hers and his money is his. He cannot take her money and she cannot take his money unless with the rida and consent. If you have consent, that's fine. But without the consent, nobody can take anybody's money. So look at the infaq of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, that after her marriage, we find when she was going to the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, on her way, she gave the dress of izdivaj, the dress of her marriage, to the faqir who was begging. I mean, we have a lot of attachment towards so many things that are related to our memorable events of life. And that's kind of natural thing. Everybody has memories and attachments. But if you give the most beloved thing of yours for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most beloved, this proves your level of ma'rifat and your level of love towards Allah. Because Quran did not say that you give in the path of Allah whatever you want. This is not said by the Holy Quran. Quran has said in, you know, clearly that, you know, first of all, أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. You know, give from the tayyibat of what we gave you. And also Quran has said that لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never reach the level of birr. You can never reach the birr. Birr is a level in Islam. You know, nikukari, nek darje pe pahunchna, nek banna. It's a level in Islam. It's not something that I give $10 to somebody, I become one of the abrar. No, there's a level. You have to achieve that malakai nafsaniya so much by doing good deeds that you reach the level of birr. So Quran says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ. You can never reach the birr. حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Unless you give from what you love. So my teacher, Abdullah Wadi, Abdullah Hafizahullah, he was saying in one of his lessons that, you know, لِبَاسِ كُهْنَي بِفَقِيرْ دَادَنْ سِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمْ نِي. You know, if I give my used dress to a poor person, this is not Sirat al-Mustaqim. This is not a straight path. I give away my eaten food. You know, I ate half of the food and the other half I give it to the fakir. The eaten up food, the leftover food, or the used up dresses. This is not Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Mustaqim, the seerat of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, is to give from the most beloved things of yours. And that's what we are, this proves that you, how much you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, how tawakkul is defined in Ilmul Akhlaq. Tawakkul is defined in Ilmul Akhlaq is like this. That an yakuna ma biyadillah awsaq indahu mimma biyadih. A person is called mutawakkil, having tawakkul on Allah. If what is in the hands of Allah, you rely on that more than what you have in your own hands. I have $1,000 with me, for example, you know, so I'm ready to give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I have reliance and tawakkul and i'timad on Allah, that Allah is not going to leave me alone. What is in the hands of Allah, I rely on that, and I don't rely what is in the hands of myself. And يَكُونَ مَا بِيَدِ اللَّهِ أَوْسَقْ عِنْدَهُ مِمَّا بِيَدِهِ. That's the definition of tawakkul. Not that I, you know, I keep on piling up, you know, because I think if I pile it up with me, this is my security and protection. This is my insurance and guarantee. That means you don't rely on Allah. Where is the tawakkul on Allah? You know, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that learn tawakkul from a dog. There's a hadith of Rasulullah. Learn tawakkul from a dog. Because when the dog goes out of his house, where he lives, he doesn't focus on his tomorrow's food. He is not worried about tomorrow's food. This is the hadith of Rasulullah, that learn tawakkul from a dog. So this is what Islam is trying to teach us, to have tawakkul and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she says in her hadith, that three things are made beloved to me from your dunya. See, she doesn't say from the dunya. She says dunyakum, you people's dunya, your dunya. So she's so much ignoring this dunya, reciting the book of God and looking at the face of Rasulullah and in faq, peace be upon them. And on the night of their izdivaj and their marriage, that's also narrated in Nahjul Hayat, that she, on the night of marriage, she said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that فَأُنْشِدُكَ اللَّهُ أَنْ قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَنَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ. That means she said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that basically, you know, let's spend this night in the ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means for the sake of Allah, let us both spend this night in the worship of Allah. That's what they did. So, and when we find that, you know, Salman Farsi found a poor person. Salman was walking in the street of Medina, he encountered a poor person, faqir. So, Salman himself was a very poor person, he has nothing to offer. So, he came and, well, he thought, well, this house of Hazrat Fatima, salamallahu alayha, this house, nobody is rejected from this house. So, nobody is refused ever from this house. Let me knock the door and ask her if she can do something, she can offer something for this poor person. He knocked the door and Hazrat Fatima said that, إِنَّا لَنَا سَلَاسًا مَا تَعِنَّا. It's 3 days that we haven't eaten food. Since last 3 days, they have not eaten food. And إِنَّا الْحَسَنَ وَالْحُسَيْنِ, Hasan and Hussein were mustarib, you know, and just, they have just slept after the istirah they had. Yeah, there was no food, that their children who are basically, of course, the child is a, you know, when you don't give food, what will happen to your kids? You can imagine. So she says the children have just slept, in other words, after that istirah. So, but then she says that, وَلَكِنْ لَا نَزَلُ الْخَيْرُ إِذَا نَزَلَ الْخَيْرُ بِمَعَبِي. But we are not going to reject the khair if the khair comes, if the khair arrives at my doorstep. I'm not going to reject the khair away from my door. Look at this policy, look at this ideology that when Allah is sending at your door towards you something which is categorized in the Sharia, quote unquote, as khair and goodness. Helping a poor person is khair and goodness. Islam says don't reject khair. If somebody is asking you a shar, that's a different thing than somebody asking you for khair. Now she doesn't have anything. What can she do? Now look at that. She gave her cloth, one of her clothes, to Salman. Take this cloth to that businessman. You know, there was a very famous rich businessman, Jewish person, Shamoon, living in Medina. You know, take this cloth of mine, give it as a rehan to that Shamoon Yahudi, and Salman can borrow something, you know, in place of that cloth of Hazrat Fatima sallallahu alayha. Salman did the same, he went, took the cloth, he gave it to that Shamoon, rich Jewish guy, borrowed some money, and after borrowing some money, he came back, he purchased some cakes with that money. Accompanying with that poor person is with him. So on his way back he thought, well, the whole money that it belongs to Hazrat Fatima, actually it's because of her cloth that I got this money. And she just mentioned to me a few minutes ago that Hassan and Hussein, they just slept, they had istirab, we haven't eaten food since 3 days. So let me give some of these dates to back to Hazrat Fatima, so that at least she can give to you know, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein and salam. So he knocked the door again, and Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha said that hada shay'un amzaynahu lillah. This is something that we have given for the sake of Allah. This is something that we have given for Allah, and we will not take it back. You know, whatever is given for the sake of Allah is not going to be taken back by Hazrat Fatima salamullahi alayha. So when we are talking about the azamat and greatness of this personality, we must realize why the personalities are so great, because this is called Isar, which is more than infaq. You know, infaq, you give, you know, and sadaqah, and more than tasadduq, because when you give the sadaqah, you have something which you need for yourself, you keep your needs, and you give what is more. But isar is something you forget about what you need. you give away what you need yourself, you give it to others because you are giving tarjeeh and preference to others over your own darurat and need. This is called ithar. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. This is what the Holy Prophet taught. See, that's why, you know, see, the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt have taken us out from the zulmat, from the zulmat and darknesses. In the same area, city of Makkah, where people used to eat, you know, uncooked meat and stagnant water and bury their daughters. In the same ignorant Makkah, we find that Prophet has raised the community to such high level that, you know, in one of the battles we find when a person who was carrying water, it's so much sawab in Islam to provide water to the soldiers. If you provide water to the soldiers, there is a lot of sawab in Islam. If you are not fighting, you are just providing water to the soldiers, providing food to them. In one of the battles, a person who was providing water to the soldiers, he went to the first soldier, he was injured, provide water to him, he said, no, give to him first. He has more thirst than me, he needs it more than me. So he went to the second person, he said, no, give it to the other one first, he is better than me. He went to the other one, he said, no, give it to him first. He is better than me. The person transferred water from to the tenth person. And the tenth person again said, no, give it back to that first person. He deserves it. This is the izhar that the Holy Prophet has taught. Where did our Nuraniyat reach? From those zulumat. You know, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-zulumati ila al-nur. Allah is the wali of those who have iman. Allah take, what does Allah do? If you have iman, Allah takes you out of the zulumat and darknesses towards the noor. And what does taghut are doing? وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاءُهُمَ الطَّاغُوتِ. Those who did the kufr, their awliya are taghut. Now they don't have one boss. They have now several bosses. So the word awliya is plural. When it talks about Allah, it's only singular word, wali. Allah wali, there is no multiple bosses. When it talks about taghut, now it's a plural term. Several awliya. So yeah, their awliya is taghut, and taghut, what it does is that yukhrijunahum min al-nur ila al-zulumat. They take them from the noor towards the zulumat. A lot of people don't understand the beauty of Islam. After the Islamic Revolution, there were some people who were complaining to Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah Alayh, you know, what did we gain out of this revolution? We had so much nice lifestyle, very posh, up-class living, everything was chic, nice, top brass, top of the line, nice things coming from Western countries, Europe and North America. Right now, we are isolated, we have economic embargo, we have problems, we have war, we have... What did we gain out of this revolution? Imam Ridwanullah Alayh said, some people are so silly and ahmak. They don't understand the risalat of Rasulullah. That's why they are making this itiraz. Because they did not understand the risalat of Rasulullah, actually. If they understood the value of risalat and imamat of Rasul and Ahlul Bayt, they would never do this aitraz. They are jahil. That's the minimum we can say towards them. The Imam replied, "Nagid inqilab baray ma che kar de, shuma baray inqilab che kar de." Don't say what a revolution did for us. What did you do for the revolution? Are we a Muslim just because Islam is going to provide me a bread? Is that the reason you want to become a Muslim? You don't understand the concept of Islam. The leaders of Islam were hungry and thirsty. Then you need to understand your concepts first. So, what I was saying is that Prophet used to make her sit on his place and there was a smell of paradise that used to come from Hazrat Zahra, salamullah alayha. Remember the incident when the blind person came into the house? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there with Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam, and istazana a'ma Fatima alayhi salam. The riwayat says a blind person, he took permission and he entered into the room of Hazrat Fatima, and Prophet was there. So Hazrat Fatima, she went inside. So Prophet asked her that, why did you go inside? I mean, this guy is a blind person and he doesn't see you. And he cannot see you. And she replied to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course Prophet knew already. Maybe ihtimal, and maybe one of the hikmat of this question is that so that we can understand the greatness of Hazrat Fatima and we can clear up our concepts. So Hazrat Fatima replied back that he cannot see me, but I can see him. وَهُوَ يَشُمُّ الرِّيْحِ, and he can smell my smell. There was a smell, a special smell that used to come out of Hazrat Fatima sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the smell of paradise. So right now we find, you know, Islam has prohibited for the women to go out by putting eau de colognes and perfumes and smells that reaches the non-mahram people, so that they get attracted towards them. This is haram in Islam. There's no room for that. Any kind of zina towards non-mahram is haram in Islam. Yeah, the zina concept in Islam is towards your husband. But unfortunately, generally speaking, in the Islamic societies, there are very, very less number of ladies who are doing zinat and they do makeup for their husbands. You do a survey in Islamic communities, generally speaking, how many ladies are doing makeup for their own husbands? This is my question to you. Let's do an opinion poll. How many ladies are doing makeup inside their houses for their husbands? That's the concept given by Islam. Do zinat, tazayyun for your husband. Husband should be in good shape towards the wife, and wife should be in good shape in front of the husband. Kana Rasulullah, you know, Prophet used to be in good form in front of his wives. That's there in the hadith, that's there in the riwayat. So the concepts are basically upside down in some people. So we find that when she went into the darbar at the incident of Fadak, he delivered the sermon, and the sermon of Fadak is one of the greatest sermons of all times, of all people. And this sermon is narrated by Hazrat Zainab sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Raviya of this sermon is Hazrat Zainab was 5 years old or 6 years old at that time. A 5 year old daughter. That's why we call her Aqila to Bani Hashim. It's the laqab of Hazrat Zainab, you know, Aqila. So her ma'rifat level is so great. A 5 year old daughter, approximately 5 year old, is narrating the whole sermon. The whole sermon is narrated by Jabir from Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha. That means Hazrat Zainab just accompanied her mom, and her mom delivered the sermon in front of the Tawhut, and Hazrat Zainab remembers the whole sermon. Can you imagine? She's not writing it down with a pen or paper. She heard it once and she remembers the whole sermon, and she is the narrator of the khutbah of Hazrat Zahra. So this is the household of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. So imamat matter is so important in Islam that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is, despite the fact she used to do that kind of highest level of hijab and ihtijab, that she goes into the room when a blind person enters into his house, The same Hazrat Fatima, when it comes to the matter of walayat of the Imam and Wali of her time, she is ready to go out and support the Imamat and walayat of her Imam. Imam Ali is her Imam also. This gives us the importance of the matter of walayat and Imamat in Islam. So look at what she said, this sentence that I would like to mention. She said in her khutbah, that narrated in Kitab al-Ihtijaj, Volume 1, جَعَلُ اللَّهُ تَعَتَنَا نِذَامًا لِلْمِلَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made our obedience, that means people obeying us, Allah made this as the nizam and the system of the millat of Islam. That's how everything will be systematic. وَإِمَامَتَنَا أَمَانًا مِنَ الْفُرْقَةِ. And the imamat of ours, Allah made it as a security from division. So as long as you stick to the imamat and walayat of Ahlul Bayt, there will be no tafriqa and no division in the community. Every division is because of the fact, fundamentally, that you don't accept one wali and one imam. That's the prime reason of divisions. Of course it is because of the love of dunya, but if you are following the real imam, he will stop you from the love of dunya. If you don't follow the real imam, you have no way to get stopped from the love of dunya. So, this is the extent of her... This is the extent of her obedience towards the concept and her service towards the concept. A person came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said that you are the son of Rasulullah. So basically what he was trying to say that you guys, you already have that fadilat given by Allah and all that. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replied back that Wilayati lahu afdal min wiladati minhu. My wilayat towards Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam is superior than my wiladat from him. I am born from Imam Ali alayhi salam. I am a son of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is not as important issue as compared to my obedience towards the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is more important. My obedience towards the walayat of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen is more important than me getting born in the lineage of Ali. Wilayati lahu afdal min wiladati minhu. These things are, are very important for our communities to remember. So Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha faced the worst of the masail. The greater your personality, the greater your tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After the shahadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salam used to come and he used to say matalib and issues from ghaib, from the unseen world, to Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha directly and talk to her. And Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, and these all matalib are other than the Holy Quran. These are issues which are other than the Holy Quran, ghairul Quran. And Jibreel used to talk to her about things from the ghaib, and she used to say to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Imam Ali alayhi salam used to write it down. And this was something which was called Mushaf of Fatima, which our Imams were feeling proud of the fact that they are the inheritors of Mushaf of Fatima. Mushaf of Fatima is bi-imla'i Zahra wa bi-khatti Ali. It's dictated by Hazrat Zahra and written by Imam Ali. It's in the handwriting of Imam Ali. Every Masoom has it and it's among the those tabarrukat which is transferred one from one imam to the other. Right now it's with Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, it's there in the hadith, that mulhideen and zanadiqa, zindiq people and mulhid people, will they're going to appear in 128th Hijrah. And because it is written in Mus'haf of Fatima, so the Rabi says, Hammad ibn Usman, he says, what is Mus'haf ibn Fatima? And then Imam alayhi salam says that Jibreel used to come and talk to her and give her tasliyat, you know, condolences, and Hazrat Fatima used to say things, and Imam Ali used to write it down about the future, things about the future that are mentioned in that book. So Hazrat Fatima, one of the alqab that she has is Muhaddasa. Al-Muhaddasa means someone with whom the Jibreel used to talk. So she was the Mukhatab, she was the one who's Mukhatab of Jibreel. Jibreel used to talk to her, she is Muhaddasa. The Muhaddis, when you say Muhaddis, means somebody who has the knowledge of Ilmul Hadith, you know, he narrates narrations. We call it like Muhaddis Ummi. So this is Muhaddis, but Muhaddas means someone from whom things are narrated. So Hazrat Zahra is Muhaddasa. That means things are narrated from her, or because of the fact that Jibreel used to come and used to talk to her. And finally, in her final moments, we find that she was very concerned about how her janazah would be carried. Asma bint Umais, salamullahi alayha, mentioned to her that in Habsha, in those parts of Ethiopia where the first group of Muslims went in for hijrat and migration by the command of Rasulullah, and Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar was the leader of that group in Habsha, it is a tradition that they make the tabut like this, that they put something on top of the tabut like this, and they cover it with chadar, with a cloth. So that's the unique kind of tabut that those people carry in that area. When Hazrat Fatima al-Islam heard that, she was basically relieved, because she was very much worried that how her janazah would be carried. That's the way her body will be covered from non-mahram people. And she did her wasiyah towards Imam Ali al-Islam, that don't allow those people who did zulm towards me to participate in my janazah. When she passed away, the riwayat says, bunch of people, the news was spread in Medina, and bunch of people gathered outside the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and Abu Zar came out and said to the people that the janazah has been delayed, you know. So that's how the people were dispersed away. And when the night arrived, because that was also another wasiyat of Hazrat Zahra, that my janazah should be carried in the night. So her janazah was carried out in the night time. They were approximately 11 or 12 people only who were participating, according to Muhaddis Qumbi, who were participating in her janazah. And Imam Ali alayhi salam provided the ghusl and takfeen himself. And the janazah was read. And there were several qubur made by Imam Ali alayhi salam, because of the fear that the enemies may come later on and dig up the grave of Hazrat Zahra. You know, some of the narration says that there were seven more kubur other than the qabr of Hazrat Fatima. Seven more kubur were made by Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Hazrat Zahra's qabr remained unknown. And it is still unknown to us even today. We don't know actually where is the grave of Hazrat Zahra. We find that even in the ziyarat we say that O you whose grave, al-majhulate qabruha, al-mamnu'ate haqqaha, al-maksure dhil'uha, Al-Madloome Ba'luha, Al-Maktoole Waladuha. My salam to you, whose qabr is still majhool. My unknown, my salam to you, whose husband is mazloom. My salam to you, whose haq has been taken away. And my salam to you, who al-maksoore zil'uha, whose side of the body has been broken. Because when the burning door was thrown over Hazrat Zahra, and she came between the door and the wall, and she was pregnant with Hazrat Mohsin, and she called Fidwa to come and help her. That was the time when her bone on the side got broken. Al-Maksoore Zil'uha. So we say salam to Hazrat Zahra. And we say salam to every aspect of her personality. But we would like to say to her that come and see at the occasion of Karbala, where Imam Hussain alayhi salam and the janaza of Hussain Ghani is lying there on the side of Karbala. And Fidla, the same Fidla who came for the help of Hazrat Fatima, the same Fidla came to Hazrat Zainab and said, I have a big news for you. And Hazrat Zainab said, I don't have any big news now. After the shahadat of my brother, you know, there's no big news for me any longer. That means, in other words, so Hazrat Fidla said, they are preparing to crush the janaza of Hussein under the hooves of the horses. Faqama Sayyidina Ta'ud says, Faqama Ashratul Fawaris. 10 of the horses, 10 horses were prepared to crush the janaza of Imam Hussein. To crush the janaza of Imam Hussein under the horses. Because, you know, people of different qabail, they took the shuhada and the janaza of shuhada. Every qabila people, they came, every tribemen, they came and took the janaza of different shuhada. The only person whose janaza was left there on the ground was Imam Hussein. Because he didn't have any family member. He didn't have any tribe there to support him, to avoid this. So Imam Hussein was alone and his janaza was lying there. And the janaza was crushed under the hooves of the horses. I don't know what pain Hazrat Zainab felt. But I feel that maybe she had did the istighasa towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به رضوانك ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا به مصيبات الدنيا اللهم امتعنا باسماعنا وابصارنا وقوتنا ما احييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل صقرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا اكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.